Today I wanted to talk a bit about how God has been speaking to me lately, and I just felt like it was relevant for all of us, really, given the current circumstances we find us in. So I do hope that it's of help to you and encouraging to you this morning. The topic I wanted to look at today was, what's your identity in lockdown? We've been in lockdown now for, I think entering our sixth week, and you know, there's no doubt this, it's been an unprecedented time for us all. With so much uncertainty over the future, we know that this is not going to end anytime soon. And as so many of us are concerned about what the future holds, whether you're retired, whether you're working, whether you're facing redundancy, whether you're homeschooling your kids, you know, sadly, you may know someone who's actually suffered from this virus and possibly even died. And there's just so much uncertainty at the moment. And, you know, in some businesses, in some industries, it's had an absolutely catastrophic effect. I know in my industry, in marketing, it's been absolutely brutal. In an instant, work and businesses can go. People's jobs suddenly seem so uncertain, and it can seem like the rug has been pulled out from under your feet, quite literally, in a matter of days. But I've actually come to the conclusion that there are so many things that people are feeling right now and going through, and I've come to the conclusion that it's actually okay to feel a whole raft of things right now, from sadness to anger to frustration. And even when we step back to consider what we have compared to many going through this in the world, we should a sense of gratitude. And the truth is, none of us have experienced anything like COVID-19 in our lifetimes, and it's almost certain that things are never going to be the same again. As we adjust to this new normal, it's okay to feel a sense of grief over the lives that we have lost and that we've lived up to this point. And I know Tom and I have definitely been suffering from some lockdown blues, as I'm sure quite a few of you have as well. So it's okay to feel those things. It's okay. And so whilst everything around us is changing, and we can hold on to the hope that we have in Christ. In Hebrews 13, verse 8, it says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In him we can have complete confidence that he never changes. And there are so many issues that people are grappling with now, and I was listing these just to name a few. You know, there's loss of work and income, loss of freedom and independence, increased pressure if you're working, parenting and homeschooling, perhaps you're on your own with children, small children, perhaps you have a fear of getting sick, or you fear of a loved one getting sick. There's a loss of routine and purpose, and there's also a sense of isolation if you live on your own, and the loneliness that comes with that, and also potentially missing family and friends that we've not been able to see in person for some time now. I think it's important to acknowledge right now that it's not easy for anyone. We're all going through this together in many different forms and ways, and it's not easy. And so looking at all of this, it's no wonder that we're all getting pretty grumpy with each other, or is that just us, possibly? I just wanted to talk, I just mentioned that I wanted to talk about how God's been speaking to me recently. And you may recall that I had, it seems a bit trivial, but you may recall when I spoke last, I mentioned a dream that I'd had, and it involved a handbag, and it involved me losing my handbag, which at the time was quite a big deal to me. And I couldn't find, in my dream, I couldn't find this handbag. As hard as I tried, I could not find it. And as I tried, I was getting more and more lost myself. I was getting further and further into just feeling completely lost myself. And when I spoke last in church, I believe at the time that God was speaking to me about the deep sense of loss that the father must have felt when the prodigal son went, and the absolute pain and heartbreak that must have been to him. And I felt at the time that was what God was speaking to me about. But actually, a few weeks later, Stuart pulled me aside, and he said to me that he felt that God was speaking to me about something else. And actually, thank you, Stuart, it's been really helpful. Stuart's had a lot of training in the meaning of dreams and what God might be saying through dreams, and he felt like God had been speaking to me about my identity. And of course, a loss of something like a handbag, which has all your personal documentation in it, and cards and all those things that reveal who you are, is like losing who you are. It's your identity. And so, moving on to more recently, I had another one of these dreams, and it was about losing my purse. And again, it was the fear of having lost all my valuable cards and money, and the things that show people who I am, and that really stressed me out. And no matter how hard I tried to find this purse, I just couldn't find it. Again, I could not find it. And it seems to me, given Stuart's interpretation of what he felt like God was saying to me, it would seem that God again is trying to speak to me about my identity. And I don't think that it's any coincidence that this latter dream corresponded with me being put on furlough. Whilst I have a guaranteed wage until the end of June, in all honesty, I'm not sure that I'm going to have a job to go back to. And it's not just me in this boat. The latest ONS stats show that businesses in the UK have furloughed at least a fifth of their staff. And others have lost their jobs completely, or if you're freelance, you can't get any work at all. I'm not the only one who bases too much of my identity on what I do. I was talking to a neighbour recently who works in the prison service about how COVID-19 was impacting her job, and she told me how much her identity was based in what she did. So when our identity comes from what we do as a job or what we do on a day-to-day basis, when something happens to what we do to make a living, or it affects our ability to function in the way that we're used to, suddenly our whole existence can feel shaken to the core. When we place our identity in the hands of what we do for a living, or in how busy we are in the day-to-day life, we can significantly limit our lives. So the truth is that God intends for all people to find their identity in Christ. That is the truth. I believe God has been speaking to me about this through my dreams, but I also think it's important for us all to remember this truth as we go through this season of such uncertainty. And if you are a Christian, your identity encompasses all the abundance of being a beloved child of God. Your identity encompasses all the abundance of being a beloved child of God. During this time and beyond, keep mindful that your identity is found in Christ. And to help us do this, to focus on this, I wanted to identify some things that we are called by God and how he identifies us to remind us of who we are in Christ. So what are his promises to us as his beloved children? You may be a new Christian. You may be someone who's been a Christian for a very long time, as I am, very long time. However, how long you have had faith for it is always good to be reminded of these promises. So firstly, you are a new creation. If you're in Christ, you are a new creation. And 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. When we become a Christian, our old self and that which we base our identity on passes away. However, it can take us a while to truly walk in this new identity, and our new identity that is based solely on the fact that Christ loved us enough to die for us. And for this to happen, we need to saturate our minds with the truth of God's word and to remind ourselves constantly of his unconditional love for us, which is not based on what we do and our performance, but just because he is love. Secondly, you are a saint. In Ephesians 2 verse 19, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. Your core identity as a Christian is as a saint, not a sinner, and you can always count on Jesus' help to overcome sin in your life. The fact you've placed your trust in Jesus Christ is enough to qualify you as a saint. You will struggle with sin while you live in this world, that is without doubt. But you can rely on Jesus's help to resist temptation. When you do sin, confess and repent, that means to turn away and maintain attitudes of humility and gratitude for God's grace. Thirdly, you are blessed. God has given you the greatest blessing of all, that is himself. No matter what other blessings God may or not choose to send into your life, you can always be confident that God himself will be with you, loving you and working everything in your life out for good purposes when you trust him to do so. God also brings many different specific blessings into your life regularly. We need to make a habit of reflecting on those blessings every day and thanking him for them, showing gratitude. Psalm 1 verses 1 to 3 says, "Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers." I think this is particularly important right now, even though so many of us are facing so many different challenges and struggles, to remember to be thankful and express our gratitude to God and for those things he's given us, and actually that which he has saved us from. It can change your whole perspective. I saw a report on the news about COVID-19 reaching Syria recently. The journalist interviewed a little girl who must have been about Eva's age, not more than 8. She lived in a refugee camp of around 300 people who shared just 4 toilets between them. She was sharing how worried she was about the virus reaching the camp. This was a girl who was already facing the fear of being bombed every single day. We need to pray. We need to pray for Syria, and we need to pray and thank God that we are not in the same situation. You are heard. If we are Christians, we can know that God hears us. God always hears and responds to our prayers when you are connected to him through Jesus. You should feel free to confidently express any of your thoughts and feelings to God at any time, expecting him to listen to you, because he does. The Bible promises that God will listen. And it says in Jeremiah 29, verses 12 to 13, "Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek and find me when you seek me with all your heart." I think it's particularly important at the moment to know that God is willing to hear from us, no matter how we are feeling. We need to feel free to be honest with God about your frustrations and your worries and your concerns at this moment in time. And the psalmist was so good at doing this. They were so good at being open and real with God. We read in Psalms so many times that they brought their pain and their anguish and their concerns to God. And do know that he won't love you any less when you do, when you are honest and you bring your pain to him. You are appreciated. God notices and appreciates every good choice you make throughout your lives, even when other people don't seem to be so appreciative. Zephaniah 3 verse 17 says, "The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you. He will rejoice over you with singing." He will rejoice over you with singing. So change the way you live as a result. Exchange grumbling for praying, competing with celebrating, bitterness for thankfulness, performing for serving, and boasting for encouraging. And at a time like this, when it's so easy to be negative about what we've lost or the struggles we are having, we need to remember to be different, to show our appreciation to others, and to live the way that God would want us to live. Next promise is that you are loved. The promise to us as Christians is that nothing can ever separate us from God's great love for us, not even COVID-19. Even people who love you can't do so completely unselfishly, continually, or perfectly as God can. He demonstrated this perfect love for us by sending his son to die on the cross for us so we can be reconciled to God. And in Romans it says, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor the power, nor any powers, nor height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Yeah.
And the next promise is that you are provided for. You are provided for. As children of God, all of our needs are provided for. In this season where there is worry and concern about job stability, whether we will have a job when the season comes to an end, whether we will have income coming in, we can rest assured that God will provide for all of our needs. That is the truth. The Bible tells us that when we put God's kingdom first, all our needs will be provided for. Matthew 6 verse 31 says, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. One of my heroes of faith is George Muller. Anybody who don't know him, he's the evangelist and philanthropist who lived during the 1800s. And he was responsible for establishing orphanages in and around the Bristol area. It's estimated that in his lifetime, he cared for over 10,000 orphans. And he never asked for any money for his work, for the work that he undertook in establishing these orphanages. But what he did is he presented his request to God in believing faith. He said, to quote him, no man on earth can say that I ever asked him for a penny. We have no committees, no collectors, no voting, and no endowments. All has come in answer to believing prayer. My trust has been in God alone. He has many ways of moving the hearts of men to help us all over the world. While I am praying, he speaks to this one and another on this continent and on that to send us help. God always provides. George Muller, in his lifetime, had millions given to him to continue the work of providing for these orphans, and not once did he ever ask a single man for money. It's quite phenomenal. God provided. The next promise is that you are adopted. During this present time, you may or may not be struggling to know where you belong, particularly if you've lost a job or you're not working or your situation is different. However, as a Christian, your identity is as an adopted son in God's family. The work of Jesus on the cross has made it possible for you to become a son or daughter of God the Father. Knowing God as Father absolutely transforms our thinking. We should no longer think of ourselves as orphans with that orphan spirit. We should see ourselves as children of the living God who has all the earth's resources at his disposal. That is who we are. And God can meet your every need. Galatians 3:26-29 says, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to his promise. When we become Christians, we enter into the family of God, of course. And I hope through this time of lockdown, even through the difficulties, you've seen the family of God at work. Even if we've had to be a bit creative in the ways that we've met with each other and cared for each other. The next promise is that you are forgiven. Since Jesus paid the price that God's justice demands for our sin, and took God's wrath for us upon himself, we were forgiven of all our sins. past, present, and future when we placed our trust in Jesus. In turn, we are called to forgive others who have harmed us and seek forgiveness from people we've harmed. Ephesians 4, verse 32 says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just in Christ God forgave you." I don't know about you, but in this season of being in lockdown, Tom and I have found it extremely challenging and at times stressful, and it can be very easy not to be kind and compassionate with each other when you are under extreme pressure. But as it says in this verse, that is exactly what God wants us to do. And often this is not something we can do in our own strength. Most of the time, it's not something we can do in our own strength. We must call on the Holy Spirit to help us. The next promise to us is that we are never alone. There are many people who live on their own for whom the last 6 weeks of lockdown has been extremely challenging. The good news, of course, is that we are a Christian. If we are a Christian, we are never truly alone. His Spirit is always with us. And in Matthew 28, verse 20, he tells us that he's surely, "I am with you always to the very end of the age." And if this is you, if this is your situation, this time is a real opportunity for you to go deep with Jesus. All the usual distractions are gone. We're not doing the things that we normally do. Be determined not to waste this opportunity to get close to Jesus and rediscover his love for you in a new way. He calls us to spend quiet time with him, to come to him, and to be still in the Father's presence. And that goes for all of us, not just those who live on their own. At the end of this crisis, may we all be changed from having spent increasing amounts of time in his presence. The next promise is that you are secure. One of the advantages of knowing you are in Christ is that you are secure in him and yourself. You don't need to prove anything to other people. You are free from competition and jealousy and actively work to grow other people. And my question to you is, are you raising spiritual giants? When you empower people and they start overtaking you, it's not an issue to you because you know who you are in God. To quote our good friend Phil Wilthew of King's Arms in Bedford, "Kingdom people are big people who know who they are. Kingdom people are big people who know who they are." Proverbs 3:26 says, "For the Lord is your security. He will keep your foot from being caught in a trap. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to help them." Next promise is that you are gifted. As a child of God, you are gifted. God has given you special abilities that he wants you to use in the Christian ministry work he has called you to do, both inside the church and out in the community. And it may be at this time that there is something specific he's wanting you to do to serve during the COVID-19 crisis. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." If you're not sure what this might be, or you don't know how you are gifted, you need to ask yourself a few questions. Where do you have a passion to serve? What do you have a burden to do? What needs do you see in the church? What do you find joy in doing for others? What things are you best at and have the most success in? What have godly people commended you for doing? And what acts of service have given you the deepest sense of satisfaction? Perhaps you've been used to serving people in a very practical way and are feeling the loss of not being able to see people and do things in quite the same way. Now is your opportunity to get creative and think of other ways in which you can serve. It's also worth noting that we can serve from the safety of our own homes, given all the technology that is available just now. The next promise is that you are rewarded. God will reward you for every faithful and holy thing you do as a Christian. Although you can't earn your salvation, Colossians is quite clear about that. It tells us, and it also tells us about being saved, and that you can earn rewards in heaven for the work you do serving God on earth. And it says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. And lastly, you are victorious. We need to remind ourselves that through his death on the cross, Jesus has broken the power of death and has given us victory as Christians. Many of us may be fearful of getting the virus and getting sick, or perhaps concerned that our loved ones will be getting sick just now. But we need to remind ourselves of the truth that thanks to Jesus, death is not the end for us. Jesus is clear that we will have trouble in this world, that is a given, but through him we are able to face it with peace, because Jesus has had the ultimate final victory. And in 1 Corinthians 15:55-57, it says, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I hope talking through these truths has been really helpful to anchor your identity in God through this trying time. There is, of course, much more that I could say on this topic, but my time is limited today. I just really wanted to remind you of the hope that we have in Jesus. And I've talked through my own struggles with where I've placed my identity and how this has been highlighted to me through the dreams I've been having recently. So I just want to ask you the question at this time, where do you find your identity? Is it in what you do, or is it in being a child of God? And through this time of lockdown and whatever may come in the future, let's pray that we remember who we are in Christ and the abundance of what it is to be a child of God.